And I was like, oh my God, I'm pregnant. It was just crazy. We looked at each other like, what?
Are we really ready for this moment? Like, we were so excited and like we knew it was gonna happen. But then in that moment of like, holy cow, like this is actually happening.
I took that onesie and I made a cute little sign that said, hi, daddy, I can't wait to meet you. And I put the positive test and I laid it all out on our dining room table. And then I sat for like 2 hours.
You've landed on the From Bumps to Birth podcast. I'm your host, Ricky Hamley. As a crazy mom of six and a diehard birth geek, I created this space for parents to come and share their unique journeys to parenthood. Whether it's been smooth sailing or bumps along the way, there's no journey alike. So help me in honoring these stories and sit back, relax, and let your inner birth geek indulge.
What's up, everyone? Welcome back. Holy smokes. It's been some time since we've had an episode. Life has just been really crazy busy. And I kind of went back to work for a little bit. And now I'm back home with my kiddos. And so I'm hoping to get back into the flow of getting this podcast revived, getting more content for you guys, more episodes, of course. So yes, super excited about that. Today's episode is a great one to kick off kind of our reviving season here. It's Giovanna Brock. You probably might remember her from episode 34. She shared her birth stories with us. She shared her son's birth story and then her daughter. And then today she's going to be sharing her home birth, which she hadn't had a home birth before. So I'm really excited to hear about that. So without further ado, Giovanna, thank you so much for hopping on today. I'm excited to hear your story. Do you want to tell us a little bit about yourself?
Hey, so I'm Giovanna and I'm a mama of three. And like Ricky had said, I had shared Kinley and Elijah's birth stories on episode 34 previously, and so now I get to share Kimber's home birth, and I'm really excited about that. But I'm a mom of three. We have a little homestead out near Middleton here in Idaho, and you know, I'm a stay-at-home mom, and life is just crazy and fun, and here we are. This is what we're doing. This is how we roll.
Awesome. Well, I kind of gave a little spoiler alert earlier. You did choose to do a home birth this time. And so before you get started into your story, do you want to kind of just walk us a little bit through the process of that and how you decided that you wanted to go ahead and go with a home birth this go round?
Yeah. So it's actually really funny because the day after you and I had recorded my episode was when I found out that I was pregnant with Kimber. And then I had called you or messaged you and I was like, oh my gosh, Ricky, I'm pregnant. Oh my gosh. And during that time, I was not insured. I had no insurance and we did not qualify for Medicaid services. So our cost was going to be completely out of pocket, 100%. And when I was pregnant with Kinley, I had asked my husband about a midwife, like home birth or birth center birth, and he wasn't comfortable with that. And he wanted a hospital birth with Kinley. And so I agreed, like, I was like, oh, that's fine. And Kinley's birth overall was very smooth. That's the best word I can describe it. And if you want to know more about that, you can go back and listen to episode 34. So when I told him about being pregnant with Kimber, we did the photo shoot. And he's like, what are we going to do? How are we going to do this? And I said, well, we have a few options. And he goes, yeah, what's that? And I said, well, we can do it free birth style, meaning that we don't have anybody here and it's us and I give birth by myself and you're here and maybe a sister or a friend. I said, I prefer not to do it that way. I prefer to have some sort of professional help here. And I said, I can call around and see about a midwife and doing a home birth or birthing at a birth center. And he's like, okay, whatever you want to do, we got to figure it out. And so I had called around to make appointments for consultations. And we consulted with Clarissa Baxter at Nampa Midwifery. She was the first one that we consulted with. And she was phenomenal. She came to my house, did the consult. I had like 2.5 pages of questions that I had written out to ask her. And Jerry had questions himself that he had asked her. And she answered each and every single one of them with grace and confidence and very knowledgeable in her answers. And she was able to calm Jerry's fears of like, what, how do you know an emergency is happening before it's happening kind of thing. So she was able to answer all those questions, and we get done and he goes, we don't need to interview anybody else. We like her. I like her. And I said, really? He's like, yep. And her global fee was very affordable. Very affordable. At that time, we paid $3,500 out of pocket for our home birth. And that included our prenatal care, the birth, my postnatal care, Kimber's postnatal care, my labs, testing that needed to be done, everything. It included all of it, except for ultrasounds were not covered in that. And if I needed testing that, or labs that weren't part of normal routine testing, if I needed any kind of those labs, those weren't covered. So pretty much everything was covered in her global fee and very affordable. And she was open to taking payment arrangements. We did have to pay a deposit up front. And in lieu of, you know, receiving gifts and different things like that for Kimber, because we, you know, had Kinley 7 months prior at that point. We asked that if anybody wanted to contribute to our birth, that they could call Clarissa directly and pay towards our birth. And so we had a few friends and family that had did that. And so nearly half of our birth was paid for before we even had our first appointment, which was really wonderful. So that was really the cost of what a birth would be, hospital versus home birth or birth center birth, was our major deciding factor. However, I've always had this desire to want to have an out-of-hospital birth. I wanted that with Elijah, and I wanted that with Kinley as well. But my partners at the time weren't comfortable with that. So I got to experience that with Kimber.
Awesome.
Yeah.
You can just hop right in wherever you see fit for your birth. I'm really excited to hear about it.
Awesome. So my due date was right around May 27th, and I always told people that my due month was May or June, you know, because we could always go longer than the typical 40 weeks. That's just the estimated date. So I always said May or June is when I'm going to have this baby. And right around May 9th, I was in my 37th week, I started having contractions. And they were timable. They weren't just random. They were timable. And so I had just put my birth team on alert, like, hey, this is what I'm experiencing. And then by the time that the evening rolled around, about 4 or 5, they were about four to five minutes apart, and they were lasting about a minute long. So I had called my midwife, and I said, hey, do you just want to come and be with me? And I called my sister and my best friend, and they all came. And I called my cousin at that time too. And so everybody was here, and I was, you know, laboring. I was walking and just trying to get things going because my contractions were, you know, 4 minutes apart. Sometimes they're about 3 minutes apart. And they just kind of stayed there. But I wasn't, I was able to talk through my contractions. I was able to interact and focus and engage with the people around me. And so my midwives said that they were going to go get a bite to eat, and they had left. And so during that time, I had continued to walk, and I sat on my birth ball and was doing like my figure eights, and I was walking and just trying all the things. And then I had even laid down for a little while to see, you know, what would happen. And by the time my midwives came back, my contractions had tapered off and just completely stopped. Like 8 hours of contractions and just stopped. And so we agreed that, you know, everybody should just go home, get some rest, and we'll see what, you know, the next, you know, few days look like. But it wasn't just a few days. It was nearly 2 weeks of prodromal labor. And if you don't know what prodromal labor is, some people claim that to be like false labor. I don't claim it to be false labor because it really is preparing your body for what is coming. And so therefore, in my mind, it's not false. It is, it's your body is doing something, and it just may not be active labor. It may not even be early labor, but it's a form of labor that your body is prepping for what is coming. And so I don't personally like to call it false labor. I just call it prodromal labor. At my 38-week appointment, it was like 38 and 6. So I was like one day shy of 39 weeks. And that was Wednesday, May 19th. And I had my routine prenatal visit. I was super emotional. I cried. Well, I cried like every single day for like the past 10 days because I still hadn't had this baby, and I was having contractions every day, hours and hours of contractions. And they would fade out at night and come back during the day. So during my prenatal visit, my midwives and I discussed a cervical exam. And I wasn't necessarily like, yes, I want this. But I wasn't like, no, I really don't want this. But I knew that for me, trying to have a labor as natural as possible was what I really wanted. But ultimately, I did agree to do a cervical exam because I was just emotionally done. Like, I just need something to happen. And before we did the exam, my midwives had also talked about doing a stretch and sweep. So sweeping of the membranes and stretching of the cervix. And I was like, oh, maybe, I don't know. And I said, but what if it doesn't take? And my midwife had said that she really prefers there to be multiple stretch and sweeps over the period of like 24 hours and not just one. And then when that happens, they are more effective. I said, okay. So we did my cervical exam on my living room floor at my home because they came to my home. And she's like, oh, you're dilated too. And your cervix is very, very soft. Posterior, but soft. I said, okay. And she said, do you want to do the stretch and sweep? And I said, yes, let's do it. I'm ready for this. And so she did. And she had told me that for a stretch and sweep to be effective, it takes about 5 minutes. So in my past experience of having a membrane sweep with Elijah, it was quick, like a minute, maybe two. From start to finish. And here I am on my living room floor getting this done, and it's taking upwards of 5 minutes because they're slowly stretching my cervix before they do a sweep. And then the next morning, so that was like 4 o'clock in the afternoon or so on Wednesday the 19th. So Thursday morning, the 20th, I went to my midwife's house. I met her there at 9 a.m. and she had done another stretch and sweep, and I was about 3 centimeters, but no other cervical changes at that point. And so I got done and I went about my day doing my normal mom stuff. And then at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, Clarissa and her student midwife came to my house, and they had done another stretch and sweep. And at that point, I was 5 centimeters, about 50% effaced, and my cervix was more anterior, not so much posterior. So we were all anticipating there to be a baby to come soon. So they left and they said, you know, just keep us updated and let us know how things are progressing through the evening. And I said, okay. Around 4 p.m., my contractions started, and they started becoming more frequent and stronger than what they had previously, but not painful or intense. And I had just called my best friend and my sister, and I said, hey, just letting you know, like, this is where I'm at. This is what's going on. And so my best friend, after she got off work, she came to my house, and she was here about 5:30, 5:45 maybe. And then my sister got here about 6 o'clock as well. And then my husband was at work, and I had also called him. It was about 5 o'clock when I called him, and I said, it's not emergent, but I really just want you home. Please come home. And so he's like, okay, I'm on my way. I had eaten, you know, eating during labor is important to me. Like, you're preparing for basically a marathon. You need to have your energy up. So I was eating and walking, and I had done mile circuit a couple times, which mile circuit is a series of different positions that you are in for a period of time to help get baby in a good position to be able to be on your cervix, so your contractions are really effective with pushing baby down. And so I had done that and was sitting on my birth ball and, you know, rocking my hips and those kinds of things. And at around 7, I felt like my labor was changing. So I had called my midwife and I had just let her know that, like, yep, I think we're definitely going to be having a baby tonight. Just, you know, just be on standby. And then some time goes by, about 8:30. We put Kelly to bed. That's her normal bedtime. And I just go in my room, and because my room is like my birth space. And interestingly enough, the people that I wanted in my birth space was my midwives, which was Kaylee and Clarissa, my sister, my best friend, Ashley, and then my friend, Nikki. When she got here, she drove from Baker. And that is who I wanted in my birth space. I didn't care if my husband was in there or not. I know that sounds really odd and weird. I just wanted him on the property. I didn't care where he was at, just on the property. So we're in my birth space, and it's Nikki and Ruthie and Ashley, and we're there. And I'm eating some more, and I'm like, I feel like I need to do my hair. And so I'm like getting ready for my birth, doing my hair and making myself look nice. And I'm sitting in like a squat position at the end of my bed. I have plastic on my carpet because I have my birth pole in there. And I'm sitting in this squat position on the plastic at the end of my bed, and I feel this pop. And I was like, I look up. And I'm like, oh my gosh, guys, my water just broke. And it was like instantly panic. And I'm like going to my bathroom and I'm sitting on my toilet. And I was like, where's my midwife? Where's my midwife? And I forgot. I had told my sister to call my midwife. It was about 9 o'clock because I felt like I needed to have her there at that point. My water broke at like 10 p.m. So it took about an hour for my midwives to get here, because they got here just as my water was breaking, and I was panicking because they weren't here yet. And Ruthie comes in. She's like, it's okay. It's okay. They're here. They're here. It's fine. And they get in there and Clarissa comes in. She's like, oh, good. Your water broke. Awesome. And I was like, no, not awesome. This baby's going to come like right now. And she's like, okay, that's fine. I was like, I'm on the toilet. She's like, Giovanna, it's okay. What color was your water? And I was like, it's clear. She's like, that's a good sign. Your baby is not in distress. You're doing great. And I'm like, okay. So we get into my room and I'm just standing there and I'm like, wait, I don't have a head just coming out of me like I did with Kinley. She's like, no, not every birth is the same. And I'm like, okay. So I continue to have contractions and they kind of start fading off a little bit. And I think that part of that was because I was panicking and I was a little fearful because, you know, again, my water broke and my midwives weren't there yet. And so Clarissa had said, hey, how do you feel about like a foot massage? I'm like, that sounds really lovely. She's like, I have some clary sage oil. Is it okay if I use that? And I'm like, yeah. So her and Kaylee gave me a nice foot massage using clary sage oil, which is very beneficial and useful to help bring on contractions or help make them stronger if you're having them while applying pressure at your pressure points around your ankles and lower leg and feet area. So my contractions within 5 minutes were definitely stronger and I'm like, okay, I'm ready to get into the birth pool. And they're like, okay, great. So I'm in there. I don't really remember what time it is. I didn't really keep a good time track, but I'm in there and I'm laboring and I'm having the contractions and I enjoyed the water, but I didn't enjoy it as much as I really thought I would enjoy it. Like, I really thought it was going to be glorious. I personally didn't find it to be super glorious, but it was helpful. I don't know if that makes sense, but.
Absolutely. I actually can relate to that.
Yeah.
I'm happy I'm not the only one. I don't want to get off topic here too much, but from your story, but oh my gosh, I thought I was like one of the only people in the world that, because I hear so many people who just like rave about water and how wonderful it is. And it just, that was not my experience. It was helpful, but I honestly was like, I could have probably done without it. Like it didn't make that much of a difference for me. And so hearing somebody else say like, it wasn't like this big old like fireworks glorious thing is pretty validating to myself. Cause I thought, okay, maybe I'm broken. Something's wrong with me. No. Why didn't I enjoy the water?
Yeah, no, definitely not broken. I will say it was, so I'm definitely one of those people because I do eat quite a bit during my labors. I do pass bowel movements during my labor. And so I did that while I was in the water, which was nice and just making like my mess was contained, if that makes sense.
Yeah. And
so when I hit transition, I also puked, which is normal sign of transition happening, especially if you've been eating. And my sister, the real MVP of this whole thing, because that woman cannot stand saliva. And that girl was holding my hair as I'm puking into this bucket right in front of her. And she kept her cool and she kept her cookies. And I am just impressed because I would have lost it probably. So right after that, she had went to go, I think either get me water or some cool rags. I don't remember what it was, but she had got up and left. And I remember feeling like this sense of like, why on earth would I choose to do this? Why would I, like, I'm panicking again. Like, I got this sense of fear coming over me. And at that very moment, my midwives, who have really, you know, kind of just sat back and just waited, watching, making sure that nothing emergent happens, right? But they're just letting me and my body and my baby work together, right? And she comes over and Clarissa places her hand on my back and she just whispers words of wisdom to me. And she's like, Giovanna, you're doing it. And this is what you wanted. you wanted this for you, and you wanted this for your baby, and the Lord is here with you, and he is protecting you and guiding you. And it just like brought me back down to like, okay, yep, I'm good. You're right. I wanted this. I did not want the hospital. This is what I wanted, and I'm doing this. And then she was pouring warm water on my back, and that just kind of helped, like, okay, I'm okay. I'm relaxed. I'm okay. And then the next contraction, I like flipped over, and I'm like, oh my gosh, I can't do this right now. I need, and she's like, Giovanna, would you like to try to get out of the water and onto your bed? And I was like, yeah, I think that's a good idea. She's like, okay. She's like, we're going to go ahead and drain the pool. You know, the water is really dirty and murky. We're just going to drain the pool. Are you okay with that? And I said, yeah, that's fine. So I get up on my bed, on my hands and knees, and I'm like, I can feel like it's time that Kimber, you know, is entering in the world, and I'm pushing, and I'm like, she's just not coming. And Clarissa goes, well, let's kind of roll you onto your back a little bit. And I was like, Clarissa, I don't think I can go on my back. Like, my hip is out because I have the world's worst hips in the world. So I try as much as I could. I'm not fully on my back, but I'm not on my side. And Kimber's head slips out, and she's like, okay, let's get you back on your knees. So we get me back on my knees, and I'm on my hands and knees on my bed, and the rest of her body is born. And I couldn't bring her all the way up to my chest because she had like the world's shortest cord. But I was able to have her on my belly, and I was in there holding her. And Kaylee asked me if I wanted the Pitocin injection into my leg to help continue contractions to deliver my placenta. And it had been probably 15 or 20 minutes, maybe. I don't know exactly. And I said yes, like, because I didn't want to have to risk going to the hospital to have them go in and try taking it out. And so I said, yep, let's do it. And so they did. And then my placenta came out perfect, complete, whole, everything. And then it was after we got some pictures and I was holding her. Then we had cut the cord after the placenta was born, which that was really awesome. With all my other kids, it was cut before it was birthed. And so I loved that. I loved that I was able to get pictures and stuff of it. Kimber was born just before 2 a.m. on the 21st of May, which I initially did not love for many reasons. But a really cool status about her birthday is she was born on the 21st day of the 21st week of the 21st year of the 21st century. So that was kind of really a cool little stat that she has. I'm like, okay, I could love her birthday. I know that sounds really petty, but it is what it is.
I love it. I love it, though.
And then as far as like my postpartum goes, I did choose to encapsulate my placenta. And that was a choice that I had made because I really wanted to I really wanted to see if I would benefit from it in the sense of quicker healing processes, not my baby blues stage not lasting as long, not having the postpartum depression, things like that. And I will say that for the first 2 weeks that I took it, I was feeling phenomenal. My milk came in by within 36 hours. My baby blues stage was very short, just a couple days. I felt really good. I felt energized. And then right around week 3 or 4, I started like just being really super weepy and cryy. And I'm like, why am I feeling this now? And it just didn't go away. And I was like processing my birth and everything. And then I had realized that I was grieving. And I know that that sounds really silly, because, you know, I have my baby home with me. But I was grieving because she was my last. I'm going to cry.
You cry if you have to. It's a real thing. And I'm so happy that you're touching base on this, because so many women go through this, and I feel like it's not talked about enough.
Yeah.
Closing that chapter is a very bittersweet moment. Definitely is worth grieving. It is.
Yeah. Yeah. I loved my pregnancy experience with my midwives. I loved my birth experience with my midwives. I loved all of it. I loved my entire experience with my midwives. And I think more than anything, that's what I was grieving, was I wasn't going to be able to experience that again. Because I knew that Kimber was going to be my last baby that I would have of my own. Jerry and I have talked about briefly, you know, me being a surrogate. But as far as my own baby, I was just really grieving that, and grieving the experience that I had with my midwife team, and feeling totally in control of my prenatal care and the decisions that I made in my prenatal care. I had chose to decline a few different tests during my prenatal care, and I was never judged for that. I was never questioned why. I was never made to feel like I was doing something harmful to my baby for not having a test done that is a routine test that I didn't feel was really necessary. And so that was really important to me. I just really felt empowered in every single decision that was made during my prenatal care. My midwife did a really great job at discussing risk and benefit, and, you know, really, really taking the time to help me understand what it was that was being asked of, and really encouraging me to make that decision for myself, not based off what she felt she wanted, but she never was like, I really feel like this is something that you should do kind of thing. It was always like, this is the test. This is the risk. This is the benefit. This is why we do this test. And, you know, you can take it, research it, whatever it is that you want to do, and then get back to me on whether or not you want to consent to that. And that was the most incredible thing, because I had not ever experienced that, even though I worked in OB care and family medicine stuff. I have not experienced that. It was always like, this is the test that we're doing, and this is why, and please go do it kind of thing. And if there was any kind of, well, I don't want to, it was like, well, you have to. And the reality is that you don't have to. You don't have to consent to anything you don't want to do. So, and I really love that my midwife was very supportive of that, you know. So, I did struggle with postpartum depression a little bit around the grief that I was experiencing. And it was during my postpartum that I realized that my heart's not done with women's health and women's care and birth and pregnancy and all of that and postpartum care. And so I know that in a few years, when my littles are a little bit older, that I will be attending college to become a midwife myself. In the meantime, I'm certifying to become a doula. So that way I can continue to feed my inner birth geek, as well as help women and families be empowered to advocate for themselves and educate themselves and ask questions. You know, so many times we don't even ask questions. We just go with the flow. And I think it's really important to be in complete control of your health and your healthcare. And remember that you are hiring somebody to work for you. It's not the other way around. And I really feel very strongly about that. So I feel like I've been called to the birth workers world. So that's pretty much my story. I'm sure I have a few things in there here and there that I've missed that I don't remember, but for the most part, that's my story.
Oh, well, I loved it. Oh my gosh, I've been craving a good one. That's what the doctor ordered.
Yes.
Your story was great, and I knew it would be, and that's why I was like, I need to start off with Giovanna. You have really good storytelling abilities. Like, I just know you personally anyways. I feel like you just tell, like, stories, like, even just the littlest things. You just tell things in good detail. You just tell them really well. And so it makes it really enjoyable. And so I'm so happy that we were able to connect and get this story out there. And I'm so excited to get Kimber's story out for you. And I know for sure that you're going to do amazing things in your birth work. I know that you could just tell how passionate in your voice you were. Like, it's crazy. It's absolutely crazy how you can just tell.
Well, thank you.
How people are just meant to be part of part of this world. Sound a little bit like the Little Mermaid there, but it just really does. It's just crazy. So, and I there's going to be a lot of families that are blessed to have you. And I look forward to watching you on your journey and opening up and blowing right into the birth world.
Thank you. It's, you know, it's a real honor to be back on your podcast to share the story. And I think that it's really important for people to know that they have options. And I think that it's also really important for people to know that your financial state shouldn't prevent you from being able to have the birth and the care and the support that you desire. And Idaho is making strides in that area of having good care for maternal mothers. You know, Medicaid covers midwives and home births and birth centers, which is phenomenal. There's a lot of states that's not an option for them. Another thing that's really phenomenal is the OBGYNs and the midwives getting together and having conversations about patient care, continuity of care. If there was a transfer to the hospital, how can we make this transfer to the hospital as smooth as possible for our clients and patients, and have it be a way where they are still very supported by their midwife team while in the hospital, and their midwife team being able to be with them while they're getting the support that they need from the hospital and the hospital staff, as well as their midwife team. And I think that's huge. That's important because, again, in a lot of other states, that's not even an option for midwives to continue continuity of care into the hospital with their clients, because there's just so much division between midwifery care and OBGYN care. And it's really sad, and it shouldn't be that way. And so I'm really proud to be a part of a state that is making strides in the birth world and the maternity care. I had shared recently a story that one of the midwives in the valley had shared on her page of a family who had gone through some major diversity and major setbacks and in preparation of one of the most awful times of their life, but trying to make the best of it at the same time. And the care that came together between the OBGYN and MFM and the midwife and the doula and all of it just was absolutely beautiful and stunning. And I cried because that just really shows that it takes a community and it takes a village, and our hospitals and our community midwives are working together, and that's important. So I feel very strongly about that, and I want to continue to see that kind of work happening. I would love to see that happen across the United States, but definitely continue to see it in our home state.
So definitely. I'm with you 100%. I know exactly the story you're talking about.
Yeah.
And it definitely, it's amazing too, to see just, as you said, like everybody just coming together for the better of, you know, the clients and the family, and just really making this about them. And of course there's always, you know, some circumstances where, you know, medical stuff does come into play, but for the most part, especially in like that situation there, you know, everybody came together for the family, for the better of the family, and really just was able to honor and respect them to the highest. And so it's really amazing. Like you said, Idaho is making wonderful strides. Like, it's just amazing. Even in the last, I feel like since COVID like happened, things like have really like gotten just phenomenal, really, in the state. Like when it comes to maternity stuff, especially somebody told my daughter, when you were talking about this, it made me think of that. Somebody told my daughter, they asked her what she wanted to be when she grew up. And this was today in school, actually, she was telling me the story. And she said, I want to be a midwife. And one of the other students says, nobody does that. Nobody gets jobs doing that. And I laughed when she told me that, because I was like, that's so funny that they say that, because it is a booming, especially since COVID, like there's been so many people who've like really just women who started doing more research and getting more educated about their bodies and feeling more comfortable, you know, doing the out of hospital experience. And just, you know, of course there's the, you know, the situations where not everybody is fit for that,
right?
But even just, you know, I guess playing around with the idea and just looking into it to see if it is a good fit for you. There's been so many more, so many more cases that I've heard, so many more people that who I know of personally that were just like all about hospital. I mean, they got epidurals, they kind of just went with the flow of the medical side of it, and they completely switched over to the other side. And they're just like, wow, I am just amazed at, you know, what we are truly capable of and what our bodies were truly meant to do. And so if anything came of this COVID fiasco, I'd say that at least in Idaho, the way that the maternity care has gone is wonderful. So,
yes, I agree. And, you know, when I had called to do interviews for the midwives in the area, there were several of them when I was like, my due date is in May, and I was calling them in September. So very early on in my pregnancy. And they're like, we're booked out. I don't have availability for that month. And it was like, so it's like, if you know that that's an option that you want to do, you want to get your consults in early and secure your midwife if that's really what you want to do. Because, you know, they allow themselves only certain amount of births every month, every due month. So that way they are available for their clients and they don't have to have backup and that kind of thing. And so, and then as far as, you know, it booming because of COVID, I also think a lot of that is because women were having to birth their babies by themselves alone in the hospital without their support, without their husbands or their sisters or moms, best friends and things like that. And women didn't want to do that. And I don't blame them. I wouldn't want to do that either. So it is absolutely a booming profession. And I am excited to be a part of it. I'm honored to be able to be in a position where I can help provide a good sense of care and education to women and their families to be able to have the experience that they want, and also be able to provide good postpartum care for women too, because that's hard in and of itself. And in my darkest days of my postpartum care, or my own postpartum, you know, my best friend came to my house and she spent like 4 hours cleaning my house and holding my baby so I can shower and even rest. And that was probably the most wonderful gift that I could have received postpartum. And that is also another kind of a passion of mine, I guess, is being able to help women navigate their postpartum and like, it's okay. It's okay to not have your shit together, because I'm 10 months postpartum and I still don't have my shit together.
Normalize that.
So, you know, I just want to be there for women and I want to provide services for them, and it be something that is affordable for them too. 'Cause that's another thing, is it's really good to be able to have services like that, but having that affordable, affordability is important too. So
definitely.
Yeah.
Well, I have no doubt that you're going to kick ass in the field. So once we get you, get your certification and stuff for your doula work and stuff, we might have to touch base again and just kind of, I don't know, see what kind of wisdom you have to share with us all, and just touch base. 'Cause, I think it's so important. And we can only feed into this. We got to feed into like the booming state of this. So
yes.
The more information we get out there, the more stories we tell, you know, the more wisdom we give, the more advice that you can share. I don't think there's any hurt in that. So
agreed.
Well, Giovanna,
thank you.
I've said it once and I'll say it again. I appreciate you taking the time and coming on here. I know you have a sick kiddo in the background.
Yes, I'm sorry about that, but you know.
Bless her. It happens, and we're all moms, and you know, we're just doing the best we can. So
yeah.
I appreciate you so much coming on.
Well, it's been a pleasure and an honor. So thank you.
Thank you.
Hey friends, this concludes today's episode, but be sure to catch up on all of our past episodes on your favorite podcast platform. If you or someone you know are interested in sharing your story, we would love to hear from you. You can find us on Instagram, From Bumps to Birth, or you can message me personally, Ricky Hamley, on Facebook or Instagram. Your love and support mean so much to me. So, my fellow birth geeks, until next time.